If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Hello.
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 And here we are.
We are
close to Christmas, or at least as we are pre-recording this for the time to happen close to Christmas.
Yes, yes. So we pre-recorded a couple of shows towards the end of the year because of travel and holiday madness. So it's still before Thanksgiving. However, this show won't air until the Friday between winter solstice and Christmas. So
we bend and shift time.
Yeah, right? We are super magical. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, our check-in, which we normally would do, is going to be kind of a little bit of a recap of what we've kind of put together, and obviously,
I'm going to check in as though it is actually December 23rd. Okay. Ready?
All right, ready.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
So, this has been an amazingly prosperous week for Milk and Honey. Our cash register overflows with abundance, and we are blessing everyone who walks in with the perfect thing that they need for the holiday season. And this will help us to continue to serve community. And I'm singing songs of joy, and I'm so excited. I've had my winter solstice celebration, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking forward to my Christmas celebration, and it'll also be amazing.
Wow, I am impressed.
Sweet.
Yes. And on my side, since I'm the one doing the traveling, I will have traveled in great ease, making all connections without delays of any kind for flights or otherwise, to get to see my daughter in Arkansas and my granddaughter and all our family back there. And I am just in that space where I'm really excited. Mm-hmm. And since I have done all my excellent shopping and gotten everything sent back there for others, and by the way, purchased many beautiful items at Milk and Honey, I will have everything ready in such a wonderful and easy time. It's just fa-la-la-la-la time.
Fa-la-la-la-la.
Yes.
Nice. I like it. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
little spell work there.
We're working. See, and this is part of how you create the things that we are, you know, been talking about, just by virtue of everything from tools to concepts to, as this time we are working on fire, we obviously want to let you see how this actually works and how in everyday life we can do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. At this point, we've already done a show on spell crafting.
Exactly.
But, you know, you can do the whole long, drawn-out correspondence down to the detail ritual for a spell, or you can do what we just did.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is the point, is that as we connect with all the different shows we are doing, it isn't one show, it's a conglomerate.
Yeah.
It's the weaving of the tapestry.
Right.
And so with that, we have fire.
Fire.
So obviously, I am enthused. I am a fire priestess. I am a sage, so I have fire. I look at this and I go, it's my element, baby. So, and it's not that I don't find things that I didn't know, but simply some of the more easy correspondences, fire is a masculine energy. It's considered, now, and this is where we kind of have to get, when it said more refined, it has a lighter energy, a higher process of vibration. It isn't better than any one of the other elements. And in our tarot, it's the wands, which, again, we've talked about wands and athames, and, you know, that.
Fire,
yes.
Fusion and feeling.
Right. It is the vital heat, and it basically truly combines all the elements when you consider what it does.
Yeah,
so,
it's actually tricksy. I find fire to be interesting because in modern paganism, it is considered one of the four building blocks. It's one of the four elements that we work with. In some older systems, fire isn't considered one of the elements.
Right.
You know, we talked in the air show about this concept of land, sea, and sky, and fire is not often called in as one of those forces when a sacred circle is created.
Uh-huh.
Fire is the in-between.
Right.
Fire is the go-between. Fire is the transformer.
Uh-huh.
Because fire doesn't exist on its own. Air exists, water exists, earth exists on their own. They don't require the other elements in order to survive.
Right.
Fire does.
Right.
Fire needs air, and fire needs earth. And fire sometimes creates water if there's steam or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And water can put out fire. So fire is the interesting sibling of the elements because it doesn't quite fit the mold like the other three do.
Right, right. Which I think, again, we're looking at all of these different aspects, and I think when I see the medieval times, the elemental spirits, the things that they talk about in their writings, I'm kind of looking at it going, fire has an entity of its own, but as you say, it is in its physical form. It needs the other element.
Right.
And it also can fear the other elements because earth or water can put it out.
Right, right. That's true. Sand and...
sand and earth and, you know, I mean, you throw dirt onto fires to put them out.
Yep.
So...
and fire also has... and this is true for the elements across the board, I think, but more so for fire than the others, it has this wide range of energetics.
Mm-hmm.
You have the forest fire, the prairie fire, this fire that rages out of control and creates utter chaos, yet new growth and new life comes from that complete destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the smoke, where there really the fire is almost imperceptible, but there is this smoke and the transformation still happening.
Right.
And then you have this banked coal that keeps you warm through the night, and this hearth fire, and it has such wide variances of energies, from sweet and subtle to completely out of control, right? Which is no surprise that fire is the element connected to passion and sensuality and sexuality and some of these emotional things that are much harder to control.
Right, right. And interesting for where we've kind of wandered through is the Stregas actually have what they call a flint stone, which is for the element of fire.
Mm-hmm.
It is the representation. It is what they use, which I thought was kind of interesting because, again, that's completely separate from our wand athame kind of concept. And I was like, well, that's really interesting because, you know, it had a feel, but again, flint I could understand, you know, from which they make fire.
Yeah.
So I could see that. But and of course we look at it as the south.
Yes,
as
right.
A directional. It's the south. And so when we light our candles, when we put the energy of that, it's the south. It's flower. Actually, I did really want to mention this, as each part of a plant is part of what the elements are. The flower is the fire.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Because I guess it's because you'd think flower would represent, like, water.
Sure.
But it's, I guess that's where passion comes in, the flower.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the color, of course, red is one that we all associate with it.
Right.
And, you know, we have vitality, we have energy, we have passion. These are all things that come from, as well as the aggression. And interesting enough is with this energy, we can either heal or curse.
Yeah. Right.
Because of the transformational energy, it can either be used for one or the other.
Right. I don't know that this is traditional because I'm not Hindu, but the goddess Kali often makes me think of fire because, you know, her relationship with Shiva, she dances and creates utter destruction.
Right.
But new life comes from that destruction. And so I often think of that destructive force, that scary, dangerous force as being connected to the element of fire.
Right.
You know, it's the thing that brings new life. It is energy. It is passion. It's all of that. The dancing, that frenetic dancing.
Right,
you know,
right.
Losing yourself in the dance. It feels very fire-like to me.
Well, and we can even go to Sekhmet. Sekhmet,
sure.
You know, is a deity based on fire and concepts of that, and she basically became raged and basically destroyed a lot of people and a lot of things out there before they mollified her with beer.
Interesting that these goddesses they all lose themselves
exactly
in their emotion or their passion or their rage or their anger or whatever the emotion is.
Right,
but they get lost in the fury of it. They get lost in it. So there is this thing about fire that is kind of scary, right?
Yeah, you can lose yourself. Well, and I mean, going from righteous anger, you know, anger over something that is inappropriate and losing yourself and then going and, you know, we go, I'll say this not because I want to drag anything in from present time in a negative way, but it is losing yourself in that anger to the degree that such destruction is taken into the physical form.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, you know, after riots or whatever, because people are so angry at something, and then harm has been done, and then, you know, something has to be squelched and then brought back again from the edge.
Right.
So it is an element that is volatile, very volatile.
Yes, and there is something, and I think that this is especially important for women. You know, I'm not really secretive about my feminist feelings. Right now I have a pen in front of me that has Vagenda of Manicide written on it. You know, I have another pen in my bag that says Smash the Patriarchy. I'm a fan of smashing the patriarchy and of feminism. So with that, I will say,
hey.
especially for women, we've been told not that you're not allowed to be angry. We've been told that that's not a feminine emotion. That it's not ladylike to be angry. It's not ladylike to express your anger. You can be angry, but you need to go and take that into the other room and be quiet about it.
Right.
And that's bullshit. And I think more and more, especially as I watch the millennial generation and the next generation that's coming up behind them, they don't believe that. That is a outdated concept.
Right.
And embracing our anger, expressing our anger in a way that is not destructive.
Right.
You know, unless you need to create some destruction in your life. I'm not saying burn down your house or go beat somebody up or do something. No property damage, right?
Right. Person or otherwise.
But if you need to shake things up in your life, if you need to connect to that righteous anger, if you need to connect to that power, if you need to become Sekhmet or Kali for a minute,
mm-hmm.
and you create some destruction in your life, that's okay, but you have to then be willing to deal with the aftermath of it too, you know.
That's
but
true.
I think the more we try to squelch our anger or hide it or push it down, the worse it is for us, the more dis-ease that creates,
exactly.
the more imbalance that creates. So being in a good, positive, right relationship with our passion,
mm-hmm.
with our anger,
mm-hmm.
with these emotions that are fiery,
right,
is vital.
It's definitely. And it's interesting, one of the things I was finding, and I don't remember what place I got it, but anyway, it was about the concept of to use fire in a way that helps, but it also destroys. It has to destroy to create. And if you think about it, there are some seeds,
yes.
that you cannot germinate, will not germinate unless like a huge forest fire goes through, unless a massive amount of fire and heat to pop it open.
Yeah.
So if you think of that in an actual plant industry area, like it has nothing to do with the humans, it has to do just with other living things, we too have to have that kind of energy, somehow creating a new growth out of the destruction.
Yeah.
But that, again, we are not plants, and it is not an instinctual thing that just happens based on certain things. We have a mind, which, of course, we've covered air before, but we have the ability to walk a different way with that passion and that destruction.
Right, right.
So,
and we have that energetic, right, that Kali-esque energetic, but then the fire also has this Hestia-esque
mm-hmm.
energetic. You know, Hestia is this ancient goddess, and she's, you know, pre-patriarchy, and she was one of the Titans, it's
mm-hmm.
believed, and when Zeus and the Olympians, when patriarchy came to Greece, he kept a place for her at the table because she was so vital.
Right.
And Hestia is the hearth.
Mm-hmm.
Every home, Hestia is spirit. It's already in because of the hearth.
Right.
So there's this idea of warmth and family and community
mm-hmm.
and feeding
mm-hmm.
and this really sweet holding
right.
fire energy that is Hestia.
Right.
Right. That keeps us warm on cold nights. And then you have Brigid, who's another fire
mm-hmm.
goddess, and Brigid is the blacksmith. That's her fire energetic
mm-hmm.
anyway. So there's this creative force using fire to shape
right.
and mold and shift and change and turn something into something else.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we have, like, fire just feels so much more vast than some of the elements. There's so much, it's so much more complicated.
Right, right. And then one of the ones that I tend to, you know, get fire, Pele.
Sure.
Pele.
Go there.
Yeah, well, you know. The volcano that erupts.
Yeah.
And out of that spew, obviously, you have land that is created.
Yeah.
Earth,
right?
Because it goes out as this molten, and then it cools, and it becomes literally
yeah.
new land. So it is from that process. And out of that, I can see where, as we have grown as a culture out there, humans, we need to realize that out of destruction or out of chaos of that nature,
mm-hmm.
we create a new platform. So I'm there with smashing the patriarchy.
Yay!
Yay! Because I see where their paradigm has been about excessive control.
Yes.
Okay? And anything, like we were talking just a minute ago, you were saying about squelching, pushing down.
Yeah.
You, the more you do that, the more disease you create
yeah. right.
in different forms. It doesn't have to just be a physical disease,
mm-hmm.
which I think, if you really want my personal hypothesis, is that some of these diseases, which we keep wanting to talk about out there, were engineered.
Yeah.
To see how things go. I think you look at the fact that that is the squelched
yeah.
process, the disease coming out.
Let's take it one step further than that. Why do modern people have so many issues with depression and anxiety and these quote-unquote mental disorders that didn't even freaking exist before? It's because we're not living whole.
Exactly.
We're not living whole. And I'm not meaning to say, oh, you just need to connect to your inner fire and you won't have depression anymore. No, that's not what I'm saying. I get it's way more complicated than that.
Right.
But we are, as a culture, we are diseased.
Right.
And because of this idea of too much control, this idea of disconnect to the elements, this idea of disconnect from each other as people, fire is a relationship element.
Right.
It, you know, it connects to the other elements. It connects us to other people. It brings up emotions. It brings up feelings. It does this energy, you know. So it's important. When we talked about air, we talked about these elements being the building blocks, and it goes the same with fire. You know, spend time working with this element. How do you feel about it? Why do you feel that way about it? What can you do to make that better? What can you do to make it stronger? There's lots of ways to work with it as a big element with a capital E.
Right.
And also with your inner landscape, with your own element, fire.
And our body gets a temperature when it doesn't feel good.
Right.
You know, it rises. It tries to burn it off, to get rid of that process. And it's you know, listening here, there is more. This is an active energy, a really very active energy, and we see it in the light that we have in our house because it's electric. It's that energy that creates light, whether it's synthetic or the sun, and I feel that it is our light. And so the more we try to squelch our light because of whatever's going on out there, fear or – and it's usually out of fear that someone tries to squelch your light, and it is out of fear that you try to squelch your light.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like the more you do that, the more it's going to come out in different wells. And most of it is, you know, there's a self-destructive process.
Yeah.
You were talking about depression, and it's interesting when you can't move your energy.
Right.
You get depressed.
Right.
I mean, it's not just that simple.
It's a cycle that feeds each other.
Cycle.
You can't move it, and then you get into depression, and then you really can't move it because it brings you. As someone who experiences depression,
it was something that when my husband passed away, and I was going through the grieving process, and I was scared because there's a lot of changes in my life, big changes. Somebody told me, a woman who has since passed on, but very wise, said, get out and do something. Literally, walk your dogs, go have a cup of coffee. And I found there were places I could have cheap coffee because I didn't have a lot of money, and a little bitty cookie or something that I could just have and sit. It was about movement.
Yeah.
Just any little bit of movement that begins. That's because your energy, which has been squelched for all these different potential reasons that are out there, you need to start moving. And I think the patriarchy found that fire had a, you know, the motherly side, the Hestia side. That was what they wanted because the other side scared the shit out of them and still does.
Absolutely.
So with that, it's like, well, you can be passionate in bed. You can be nurturing and loving and cook and do the hearthy stuff.
Yeah.
But anything else, forget about it.
That's it,
You know, and it's happening again now, but I don't see any way that it is going to ever go back literally because there is too many things that have moved forward and risen around the obstacles, and it doesn't just mean going out and smashing and killing and doing shit like that.
No.
That's more patriarchy anyway.
When you mentioned our inner light and our light as humans. And, you know, Miss Kat, when I worked at Lucky Mojo, would often say, don't hide your light under a bushel.
Yeah.
You know, because now even saying this makes me feel awkward. But I'm not super self-promote-y.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like to put myself out there too much, which is hilarious because I do a lot. Like, obviously, I'm doing this radio show and I teach and I travel, blah, 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 to teach. But I don't like to be – I'm not always like, hey, I'm going to do this thing because I'm so freaking cool. Like, I don't like that. But there is something we talked about when we talked about the pentacle.
Right.
Our bodies as a pentacle and the energy of the iron pentacle. And one of those points, you know, the iron pentacle is fiery. It's
you
know, iron. It's
iron.
Fire. It's hot. Mm-hmm. And one of the points is pride. And pride is about your light.
Right.
It's very fiery. It's being in right relationship with pride. Pride feels like a very fiery – emotion or energy to me, right? And it's okay to be prideful. It's great to be proud of the things that you've done, but you want to be in right relationship of that.
Like,
so it doesn't become egotism or overinflated sense of self, but really understanding who you are and wearing that tall.
Yes.
You know, that's
yes.
fire.
Yes, it is. It's the glow. You know, it's interesting because we talk about fire, glow, all of these things. Think about what the halo is. Think about mm-hmm. what that actually represented, and probably if we're going to utilize any of our knowledge about our energetics, is there is a glow. And you know darn well somebody can turn to you and say, you're glowing today.
Right.
And they could mean it by virtue of, you know, your healthy glow or your passionate glow or your sexy glow or your happy, proud glow.
Yeah.
But if you think about that, those people in old times when people glowed with spirit,
mm-hmm.
it became that energy that they saw. And it, of course, is going to have more chance to go around the head, even though it's around your whole body,
yeah.
is that's where the connection to spirit, to the higher energies
right.
comes. It's kind of from that energy factor, and whether you talk about it at the base of the skull or the top of the skull or, you know, whatever, it's still that area.
Yeah.
So, you know, fire rises. And
yeah.
That's where it goes.
Right. Right.
So,
right.
See how passionate I'm getting?
Yeah. It's the movement. It's the thing that moves.
Exactly.
Right.
And I love being able to explain to people when working with them on spirit-based issues about using one of the things, candles are really great, only because there
candles.
Is something, I love them.
Yeah.
You see them go from a solid, which is usually where people come as they're stuck, something they want to move or they want to get something going. And then you light it, which brings illumination, and then it starts to melt it,
mm-hmm.
which is getting liquidy, mm-hmm. and then it evaporates.
Yeah.
So that whole transformational process
right.
is very, you can see it. You can really be physical with that process because when you're talking on a spirit level, we don't see it.
Right.
And sometimes we go, nothing's happening. I don't see why it's not happening. I did the magic. Why isn't it happening?
Yeah.
Because it's got a different flow.
Right.
And
right.
so it gives somebody to see something physical.
Oh, and that's what's so amazing about fire and its physicality,
mm-hmm.
again, more and differently than the other elements,
mm-hmm.
right? No doubt everyone who's listening to this has been transfixed by fire at some point
mm-hmm.
in their life, whether that was staring at a candle flame or at a campfire when you're out in the middle of nowhere and it's just
mm-hmm.
you and that fire,
mm-hmm.
or having a hearth fire in your home. At some point, every human being has been transfixed by watching the flames of a
yes.
fire. There is something about it, and it's one of the first, it's the first and only element that humans learned how to create.
Right.
Right? We don't make air, not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't make earth, we don't make water. I mean, I guess if you count peeing.
Right.
But not really.
Yeah.
You know, we can make fire.
Fire. Exactly.
How amazing is that?
Yeah. And it is what we see, the combustible process
mm-hmm.
in reality. And, you know, you can do fire scrying.
Yeah.
It's a very, I loved, you know, I don't have in where I'm living a fireplace, even a gas fireplace where I was at the last time. I mean, it was anything to have that flame, right? But the candle flame is the closest I come to it. That you can actually look at it and see it live. And I
right.
think when we talk about salamanders as the elemental spirits, and as I was reading, one of them says, oh, the poor little salamanders that have been thrown into fires, legitimately real live little lizards,
yeah.
thrown into fires because people thought that this was part of, you know, their being the element of fire, and of course, burned to crisps.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to talk about that, about salamander, right? Because, you know, we have these animal correspondences,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. So fire is the salamander.
Yeah.
And there is a mythical creature that
right.
is a salamander that lives in the flame.
Right.
Right. And if you do fire scrying, you can often connect to that salamander
mm-hmm.
or see them, right? But at least here in Northern California, a salamander is like a marsh, watery thing. It's never made sense to me. And I get, you know, lizards or
yeah.
or they're fiery, right? Yeah. Leathery skin, yeah. And you know they are cold blooded, so they need the heat.
Right.
I get all that lizardy bit, but a salamander isn't a salamander an amphibian? It's not even a lizard, so it's so weird to me. How this, I don't know how this correspondence came about. I should probably do some research to figure it out, but it is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes no sense.
But see, that's I think we tried to make it literal.
Sure.
Okay, as opposed to what we were seeing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take it one step farther. Phoenix.
Yeah.
Is a bird.
Yes.
But it isn't a real bird in the sense that you see it and you go, oh, that's an eagle. I saw a phoenix fly by. It is a creature of fire and air and movement.
Yeah.
So I think that salamanders were the same thing, but they couldn't find a way to pull a phoenix into a bird form in that manner, but they could somehow with the salamander. I don't know. Because I don't see how you could throw, you know, like, oh, my God, let's grab the phoenix and throw it in the flame. I just don't see that. But I do understand what the creature is, but it was more mythical.
Right.
Salamanders, they could find a more literal balance.
Sure.
I just happened, like you, to go, of all the lizards they picked the salamander.
One that's not even a lizard.
Right.
Although, again, if you trace it back far enough, especially a lot of modern witchcraft and paganism's roots come from the Celts and the Norse and the Greeks,
right?
Like those three cultures have really impacted what modern witchcraft looks like.
Right.
And if you go and you study fairy lore, and I mean that as in F-A-I-R-I-E, fairy, not Anderson fairy, F-E-R-I, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go back into the Celts and the Scottish folks and the Welsh and the Irish, and they're the fairy creatures, a salamander is one of those.
Right.
Right. It was a being that lived in the flames.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's no doubt its roots, but I wonder.
Yeah. It's just like you to the modern day where people kind of take it too literally.
Yeah.
But, you know, and to me, seeing how this element moves in our lives is more the magic than, you know, going and doing some of the other things that obviously we do for this show is, you know, do research and make sure that not just because I found how often because I've had so much of this in my life and I live it, I am it.
Right.
I think that finding the actual different items that we talk about in research is because we bring it more to the fore and we actually find different things that we go, oh my gosh, I never knew, da 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 da.
Right.
So the correspondences and the things that will be more here and now, we will pull that together when we get to the second half of the show. But this is just really putting that energy out in a real-world way. How does this element work in our lives?
Right.
And why?
Right.
So, and you said, you know, the hearth fire. That is an elemental process that is so central.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, originally it was where they had warmth and they cooked.
Yes.
And
it wasn't just like, let's chill out by the fire.
Yeah.
It was, oh, I got to make dinner.
That's it. This is where we're going, honey.
Yeah.
And we have segregated it by virtue of having, if we have heating, if it's electric or gas, we turn our thermostat on or our little electric heaters.
Mm-hmm.
We go to our stove and we cook. So it's separated. The concept of a central place is segmented.
Right.
But our I don't know. Here's a thought that I'm going to throw out. Do you think our television has become the new hearth fire?
Yeah, probably for most folks, I think, right? Like, literally, you said central place. Literally, in the ancient world, especially Greeks, where Hestia originates from, the hearth was the center of the house, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's logical reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a fire in the center of the house, it keeps the whole house warm.
Duh.
Okay, obvious. But it was the central place. It was where the energy was focused.
Right.
Both inwards and outwards. And
right.
Now, if you look in a modern home, I think, yes, the television, but also any gathering, people congregate in the kitchen. right?
True.
Any gathering, a party, whatever, people end up hanging out in the kitchen. So there is still something about that hearthiness.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right,
so
I know.
Why do we do that?
I don't know, but that's fascinating because I know for my time and where I am, my hearth fire is more like my microwave. I'm sorry. occasionally, it's the toaster oven, okay? But I go to my daughter's and, you know, the kitchen is her hearth fire.
Yeah.
You know, they do have, you know, and I know when I visited during the times that you've had gatherings and I've been there, it is the kitchen everyone moves into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's small, people will just hang out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So that is still, I think, a very
primal. Yeah.
Primal.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. So I know that what I see is that, and I guess that when I say the TV, that is the secondary thing. It is where
well, it
people would talk.
Glow.
It has a glow.
Yeah.
It's electric. It has a glow. And it's where people somehow gather to feel the community.
Right, right.
So, and people find that, I think, as well in places like Milk and Honey,
mm-hmm.
places that aren't necessarily, yeah, they are retail, but they are also gathering places.
Right.
The hearth fire of a community versus the home hearth fire.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Milk and Honey is a retail shop. It's a, you know, a magical spiritual shop.
Mm-hmm.
But the main point is that we are a safe haven. We are a temple.
Right.
And when people enter the temple, we greet them as though they're entering a temple, and we want them to feel like they're in a temple. And we have a little hearth space in the back where we have a community altar where people can light candles for their own needs, wishes, prayers, whatever. We have a place where people can sit and be in community. Like, it is not, of course, you know, ideally I own a business. I would like my business to be successful.
Right.
But what's more important than that is that it is a community space where the people can honor the temple and connect to the temple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that takes us to the temple fire, the temple hearth.
Yeah.
And we do it either with the churches and the structures that people have created over the millennia from that. You go there for your gathering.
Yeah. Literally building on top of previous temples with the new religion.
Exactly.
Overlay.
we got to go back to where we come from. And yet, we also have our own ways of creating that. And it's more like fire, it moves. So sometimes we have a few minutes left, seconds, that we go from place to place.
Right.
So now we're going to have our break. Literally.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silos League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit of Boxy with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Friday 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Western, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific. Add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Well, that was quick. We're back. Like fire, we've just gone from one place to another. Interesting. One of the things that in the Vedic tradition, the center of fire is the serpentine energy, and it basically is at the seventh chakra. It's really, and it does this serpentine. I was looking at something that I had, and it showed going from the first chakra to the fourth chakra, but they wanted to go into the sixth chakra, and I always thought it was this you know, right up here, and how it moved. I was fascinated to see that their concept of fire and serpentine energy, which, of course, one of the other animals
is the snake. Yeah.
Is the snake. Yeah. And the snake energy, the serpentine energy.
Right, that whole Kundalini yeah.
process.
Yeah.
So
the beginning of the snake. And,
right. So,
and I've talked, especially women who mm-hmm. have had that Kundalini awakening thing happen
mm-hmm.
to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's often described as feeling like they're on fire.
Right.
Like this fire moving up their spine, a fire in their body,
mm-hmm.
and it is this weird balance of pleasure and pain.
Right.
It is not exactly a nice experience, but it's not exactly a bad one.
Right.
And there, you know, there are folks who are specifically in these traditions who work on awakening the Kundalini force and connecting to that Kundalini life force. And then there are people who it just randomly happens to.
Right.
And all of a sudden they have this awakening.
Mm-hmm.
People from all walks of life, like super mundane, not spiritual at all, have these crazy Kundalini awakenings, and it changes the trajectory of the rest of their lives.
Right.
And it's often something, if it does hit randomly, if you're not seeking Kundalini energy in your life,
mm-hmm.
most often women experience this shift right around menopause.
Oh, yes. Watching half of us, there's whole comedy routines of women going through the process, being so hot they're basically stripping off half their clothing
right.
because they are so hot.
Right.
But it is a truism, and it's, and I will say this from some personal experience. Yes, when I went through menopause, mm-hmm. there was that process.
Yeah.
But I have noticed that when, and I'm acutely aware of it now more so.
Mm-hmm.
When there is something happening in my being, my spirit, that is shifting,
mm-hmm.
I will get so hot.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the temperature outside or inside, and it's not ill, because believe me, the first thing I run is if I have anywhere that I'm at, I get my thermometer to stick it in to see if I've got a fever going. And no, what it is it's this energy. So
it's energetic.
For all of us who work in this and live it, we still contend with, am I sick? Is this happening? And then suddenly when you've ruled out some of those areas, you realize what you're doing, and it will be, oh, I've shifted, an energy shift. And I find it, even I forget it. Even, you know, after all these years, it's still part of it. So it's a good thing that in this particular episode of our shows, fire is, it's a reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens to me too. I have an acute sense of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I am rarely wrong when I have a first impression about someone. When I get these hits on things intuitively, and sometimes when they're not so pleasant, especially things in my own life,
mm-hmm.
it makes me hot.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel like I have a fever, exactly what you're describing, but it's more my intuition saying, mm-hmm. hey, pay the hell attention.
Right.
Because the gut feeling that you're having is correct.
Right.
You know, so it's also learning to connect to your own cues and triggers.
Exactly.
And listening. When I get inflamed, when my body heats up, when that fire happens, why?
Right.
Because my message is my intuition, but that might be different for other people.
Right.
You know?
It's very personal. And that's why, as we said before, with air, it is very personal. We have to breathe to live.
Yeah.
But this is also very personal.
Yeah.
And it needs to be taken into account. We can give you pointers. We can suggest what we've had happen or bring a knowledge here. But the body and you are really what are the significators of how this element is moving through you.
Right. Right, and we talked about, you know, air, we've done previously, and breath and life force and all that, but fire exists in our bodies too. Our neurons fire.
Uh-huh.
The things flow through our body. Energetic impulses are happening. Our
right.
nerves are fire.
Right.
There is fire constantly going on in our bodies, and unlike the other elements, you can become really aware of your breath. You can become really aware of your spit, your ghee,
mm-hmm.
your sexual fluids. You
mm-hmm.
can become really aware of your bones and your muscles.
Right.
But it's harder to connect to the fire energetic. It's hard to, you don't feel your neurons firing.
Right.
More often you experience pain.
Right.
Your nerves are fried.
Right.
Right. So there's also remembering fire isn't just that pretty thing that you get to look at. It's happening internally.
Exactly.
You feel the flame, like Elvira and I were both describing our personal fires, right?
Mm-hmm.
But don't forget, it's happening. Your food is being digested. Everything is moving through electrical. Our bodies are electric.
Right.
These impulses are constantly firing and moving and doing things energetically that are so subtle we don't even know that they're happening. They just
right.
do it.
Right.
You know? So it is, again, fire is so interesting.
I know. And you brought up electrical impulses. You know, at one time, and I don't know, they probably still do, they felt that some of the maladies that humans had by electroshock therapy,
right.
which to me, I keep looking at as sort of a barbaric point of reference because it's taking something and literally taking, shocking you to change everything.
Yeah.
And I know under dramatic circumstances there may have been a few people that it
right.
worked with,
right.
but to me, I would say, please don't put your finger in a light switch.
No.
Please don't do anything to shift your light, you know, your energetics. That is not really how it works.
No, no, no.
And
the late 1800s, people thought electricity was going to revolutionize medicine.
Right. Yeah.
They were doing all kinds of things with electricity. I mean, that's where the Frankenstein story comes
exactly.
from, right?
Exactly.
Electricity is going to, and it wasn't just electroshock therapy. There was all kinds of crazy things happening with electric treatments
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
all kinds.
Yes, some things that you'll have to go on your own to the internet and find.
Yeah.
But again, where this is, it's not just spirit.
Yeah.
It is be with your fire energy
yeah.
and feel it. And you will become personal with it. It will say, hello, I'm here,
mm-hmm.
in a manner that you will be able to get. But you have to start listening to it.
Right.
Because in its own right, that, again, if you push down the electromagnetics of this process, if you push down the fire, it will come out in other ways.
Yes. Or short the system.
Or short the system.
You can use electric forces in other places as metaphors for our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that is really where we kind of go. And for us, we have different things we suggest that, you know, you work with, like,
mm-hmm.
for instance, different stones, different herbs,
mm-hmm.
different, again, one of the things I found when it was like toning,
mm-hmm.
the metal tuning forks,
yeah.
even though that's air and sound, it does have a vibration.
Right.
That works with the energetics of your body.
Right, right. And
so.
We talked about this in the other Elemental podcast, and no doubt in future Elemental podcasts this will come up again because that's just how I am. But spend a significant amount of time working with fire, both fire with the big elemental concept of fire mm-hmm. and your own physical fire and the spirit of fire. Like, is, you know, I said it with the air podcast, maybe a year and a day on air. Well, then the next year and a day on fire.
Right.
You know, learning to connect to that energy, learning how it flows, learning how it moves, watching it, understanding your relationship to it. And then just like you could play with clouds and air streams, you can play with fire. Of course, you want to be more cautious, you know. But light a candle and use your energetic to make that little flame dance
mm-hmm.
or shrink it or make it larger.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a fireplace or a backyard fire pit, you know, build a fire. Build the fire yourself.
Right.
You know, for me, creating fire is hard. I have a hard time making a fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not good at it,
mm-hmm.
you know. But every time I'm successful, I feel like a freaking superhero, you know. Build a fire,
right.
put the things in it, and then you can use that fire for all kinds of magical purposes, for transformation,
mm-hmm.
for release,
mm-hmm.
for scrying, all kinds of stuff. Fire is really good for doing the creating the fire is your firework, and then you can use the fire for more magical
mm-hmm.
goodness.
Right.
Yeah.
And that takes it to lightning
mm-hmm.
and fireworks.
Yeah.
These are, you know, we have such an enjoyment of watching fireworks. I know that the boom and everything can be very upsetting sometimes, but it's you. There's this part of you just seeing the flashes of light
mm-hmm.
and lightning. When I went back to Arkansas this last year for summer to be with my family, they had lightning storms. I mean, lightning storms.
Yeah.
Here,
we don't get those.
We don't get them.
Yeah.
There, they were magnificent.
Yeah.
Of course, they're scary, and they have, you know, there are dangers about it.
Sure.
But there is a thrill, And that's nature. And, of course, in the old times it became, you know, gods and different things that were happening. But it was so incredible. You know, the Aurora Borealis, the even rainbows, but I would say St. Elmo's fire. These are all things that are fire.
Right.
In the big picture, that if you have chances, it's scary sometimes, but it's also so, so incredible to be able to see that. And, you know, they call them balls of light and will-o-wisps and, you know, fireballs and things like that. So, heck, I have never seen a will-o-wisp, but it's okay.
Someday.
Yeah. I want to call on that,
yeah.
And then adventure. But then even fireflies, I swear, when I was back there and I saw fireflies, I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've never seen fireflies. That would be awesome.
It was such, you know, there's a part of being here on the West Coast that I really feel good about, and in this day and age, happy.
Yeah.
But when I look at going to these other places and experiencing these things, I'm in awe. I mean, I just sat there watching these little things, and I know they're mating calls. It's all about mating, remember,
right.
Sexuality.
Which is fiery.
Which is fiery. But it was also the part of what we see here, the mammals, as the birds are for air, mammals, warm bloods, are for fire.
Right.
And so we have correspondences. Sometimes a little differently than, you know, okay, I can add that to this area. Dragons are fire just as much as they are air.
Yeah.
I guess I'm into mythical creatures, maybe because the Fantastic Beasts is coming out this weekend.
Yes, that's right.
So, but anyway, and again, stones are, you know, the color is red. You can use it for protection and defense and physical strength.
Right. Connected to noon.
Noon.
Summer and the highest point of heat.
Right.
Right. Which to me always makes sense that it's the direction it's connected to is south, because if you get close, at least for us in the northern hemisphere, if you get closer to the equator, it gets hotter.
Right.
Right. And from what I understand in Australia, they do hold the elements. Fire is in the north.
In the north.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because, again, they're the flip side.
Yeah.
Of the process.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then some of the other things, I guess, we didn't have a chance with air, but, you know, the herbs are, you know, hotter ones like cinnamon and allspice and nutmeg and, you know, things that are fiery.
Yeah, dragon's blood.
Dragon's blood.
Right.
Right. So in terms of utilizing these, mojo bags, spell bags, whatever we want to, you know, call them, we create with stones and herbs. And one of the things that you can do is a lot of times if there are things you want to get rid of, write them down, and we talk about this, burn them.
Right.
And something that I like to give people that come, you know, and ask for help on my end is I have them take and write out their anxieties on a daily basis and then burn them.
Right.
And take those ashes and truthfully put them around some plants that you can see, because what you're doing is shifting your energy.
Right.
The ashes.
Yeah. You can also, we mentioned fire scrying briefly, but, you know, scrying, for those who are maybe unfamiliar with this term, is to, it's a form of divination. So you stare.
That's it.
Basically, you stare. You know, you'll see classically a fortune teller with a crystal ball scrying into the crystal ball, or you can do it with a glass of water.
Right.
Fire is really powerful for scrying because it moves.
Exactly.
And you can do it with a candle flame or a campfire or whatever, but you just lose your focus. You let your eyes sort of drift and relax in watching that dance of the flame, and you see what comes through, and you'll see symbols or things moving, or, you know, I remember the first time I did this, I practiced scrying, I think I was 18, and in the flame I saw like a waltzing couple, like a man and a woman in a very clear ballroom gown, like spinning, like they were waltzing through the flame.
Wow.
It was really cool, and I was like, wow, something just happened, you know. I don't know what it meant, but it was neat.
Yeah.
You know, so you may see static things, or you may see a letter or a number shape appear and disappear, and you know, just allow those things to flow through, and maybe you write them down as you see them and refer back to it to see if any of that means anything.
Right.
Is there any symbolism there that's important, or any messages for the future of what, of perhaps you've burned something in that fire and then you scry into the fire for messages about that release.
Right. Interesting. You were talking about fire in the Hebrew tradition. The Yod, Y-O-D, is the letter for fire.
Mm.
And if you look on the tower in the tarot deck, you have the Yods coming, and that's the actual way it's written, the symbol of that for fire. And there was some gentleman that I found doing something that I took a workshop on, and what he did was he took wire and he made the symbol in three dimensions that you could literally put on your hand. It wrapped around your hand. I actually have them still. And it was a way to meditate. It was a way to bring that symbol in of what's going on. So all of these things have different places in different traditions that people have utilized. And in this day and age, it's not disrespectful, I feel. It's what is it that triggers it? Because if we are all one, literally having all come from one gentle, long time ago ancestor, we have all these memories.
Right.
It's not just up in the Akashic and the spirit realm.
Right. Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, this is a whole other conversation that we'll probably do a show on at some point too. But if we also believe in the concept of reincarnation, which many pagans do, not all of us, but many of us do, then you never know what your past life energetics may you still be carrying with.
And we also, you know, it's there's so much for us in this element that it's like, we got to condense it. We got to get down.
Yeah.
We were going to do another biblio and see.
All right. So I'm going to flip through the book. Fire. Okay. The one for air was so perfect. This one just makes me laugh. Odin. When you hung on the world ash, you knew full well the price, but you knew full well the reward. You did not shrink from pain in return for wisdom. You did not fear paying for knowledge. You hung there 9 days.
Well,
interesting,
especially with your background, darling. So it is something to take into account and listen to. It may have a message for you.
Yes. So that was Bibliomancy from A Book of Pagan Prayer.
Which, believe it or not, there exists, yes, indeed.
Yes.
And we will use it throughout our time because it does have some interesting things. And this is the time, as this will be airing, as the fire, the light becoming less, and then suddenly the light will start to grow again.
So I hope you had a beautiful winter solstice, and if you celebrate Christmas, we hope you have a beautiful Christmas.
And any other, you know, time, which we, I know people are going, why do you say happy holidays? Well,
there are
so many. I do too.
It's Hanukkah that week too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. So all of these, may you have a blessed and wonderful time, and we will see you on the radio later another day.
Yes, and next time we'll be through.
Cool. Fire.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine. If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.